I'll do my best this year to not push my Bible off the front of the pulpit like I did during Old Sunday last year. I mentioned that when upstairs, I said, I'm going to try not to do that. And there wasn't, I don't think anybody remembered it, which is kind of interesting how we sort of hold on to these things. But hear the word of God. Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not God in vain, for the Lord will not take his name in vain. Leviticus 19. And ye shall swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profess of thy God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, by your grace, we are called to be your own. We are called to a place to place our heavenly life, or our lives. Pour out your Spirit upon us this day as we hear your message. Guide my tongue in the speaking of it. Open our hearts and our minds to be ready to hear you this day. Might our time in your presence be in our walk with you, our appointed callings, and the life of your church here in Somersworth, New Hampshire. Grant this, O Lord, because we ask in the name of Jesus, your faithful Son. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself why we do this? Why do we take this oath every year? Isn't the one time that I took the oath of membership, whether it was years ago or just this year, isn't that one time, isn't that good enough to be a member of this church? Why the emphasis on the annual oath? Why the breakfast? Why the high quality paper? Why all the formalities? Why do we do it here during our covenant renewal worship time? Have you ever found yourself asking these questions? I have to admit, I'm not sure how many years ago I asked it the last time I asked it to myself, but I have in the past asked that. So this morning, what I think is the Lord's message, or what I've discerned the Lord's message, is I'm going to use the Westminster Confession of Faith, some portions of that that speak to the oath, as well as some of the scriptural proofs to sort of answer some of the questions of those, to answer some of the questions of some of those questions, as well as maybe answer a few more along the way. But first, a joke. His wife of many years said to her husband, "Husband, you never tell me that you love me." To which the wife responds, "You are wrong, my wife. I told you when we got married that I loved you. And if anything changes, I'll let you know." That is not original by any stretch of the means. In fact, maybe even Mr. Marshall has told that before. I can't remember the source of it, but that is not original. But so why should a husband tell his wife that he loves her often? Well, I would suggest that, well, in a way, husbands, we are pretty guilty with our negative communications with our wives. Now, maybe I'm just the only one there, but I am convicted of that far too often. So, our wives need to hear something positive from us. Without a positive communication, a marriage becomes dull. Dullness can lead to all sorts of troubles and difficulties. So, why should we take our oath every year? Well, one reason is because, honestly, we become dull. We become dull year to year. We become dull to what we affirm in our membership oath. We become dull to the actual high calling that it has in our lives and in this church. We become dull to the responsibilities that we swore to and that we swear to in our oath. Every year? Well, here's another question, possibly. Why do we worship every week? Now, beyond the fact that Jesus says, "Worship me every week," beyond that fact, why do we do it? Well, because we know we need it. We know that we need to come before the Lord, beg for forgiveness of our sins, receive it, receive from Him, receive His effectual message to change us. And we know we need to do that. So why do we do it every year? Well, because we need to, again, because we become dull to this idea. Every year I read it, and there's always something that stands out to me that says, not so good. You didn't do so good there. Did you forget about it during the year? Admittedly, I do. So every year we know that it has an effect on us more and more. It certainly has an effect more on me today than it did 20 years ago. That is for sure. Especially with the awesome responsibility I have to discern God's message to you, to the saints of Tri-City Covenant Church. Certainly the Lord is at work in this church. Taking our oath every year gives us the opportunity to more fully serve our Lord in this church. It reminds us, it makes us less dull to our responsibilities here. So what does the Westminster Confession of Faith say? Chapter 22. It reads in part this. Here's the first point. The first point says this. A lawful oath is part of a religious worship, whereon upon just occasion, the person swearing the oath solemnly calleth God to witness what he asserteth or promiseth. And to judge him according to the truth or falsehood of what he sweareth. The second point here reads in part, the name of God only is that by which men ought to swear. And therein it is to be used with all holy fear and reverence. Therefore, to swear vainly or rashly by that glorious and dreadful name, or to swear at all by anything, is sinful. Any other thing, pardon me, is sinful and should be abhorred. And point three further, just in part, whosoever taketh an oath ought duly to consider the weightiness of so solemn an act, and therein to avouch nothing but what he has fully persuaded to be the truth. Neither may any man bind himself by an oath to anything but what is good and just, and what he believeth so to be true, and what he is able and resolved to perform. The two opening scriptures I read, Exodus 27 and the Leviticus passage, are some of the proof scriptures that speak in this area. Another one is Deuteronomy 10:20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him thou shalt cleave, and swear by his name. As we took our oath this morning, we started it off by declaring of whom we serve. We confessed our faith in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And we did this with humble and contrite hearts. At least we swore that way. We swore to trust the mercy of God, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. The God to whom our faith lies witnessed our oath this morning. And he has witnessed our oaths over the years. Now, of course, we know this witness is not the same as the witness of person to person. We know that. We know that this witness is between Creator and creature. It's between God and his people. So we know that right away there's a significant difference here between the witnesses we have between one another. Again, our witness is the maker of heaven and earth, the one that has the power over life and death. Why all the formalities, the breakfast? Again, the high quality paper. Did you notice the paper was high quality this year? There's a purpose behind that. What we do here is serious. This oath is very, very serious. That high-quality paper speaks to exactly the seriousness of which we do here. Why do we stand? Why do we respond to the questions? Again, because we know that this is very, very serious. It needs to be treated with the weight that it calls for. Some of the questions I think that we should ask ourselves are, do I truly place all my faith in the Lord Jesus? Do my actions throughout each day and each week witness to this faith? Or do my actions speak to the faith in something else? Since we have taken our oath in the presence of God and ask Him to be therefore our witness, we ask at the same time for Him to judge our faithfulness to the oath. That's what we've done. Certainly it's not the first time we've done that, but that's what we've done. We've done it in His presence, and He will judge the faithfulness, good or bad. And of course, when we hear that, we immediately relate that word judge to a negative connotation, right? We say, oh boy, He's going to judge me for whatever, this or that. But there is a good side to judgment. Because our Lord is a faithful judge. He judges righteously, and He judges the righteous, and He judges the wicked. Or maybe the other way. I'm not sure which hand I'm supposed to use there. But so again, thou shalt not vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Of course, this is the third commandment. Yes, it does apply to speech, not using God's name in common cursing-like speech. But it also applies to upholding oaths that are taken in God's name. To break an oath means to take God's name in vain. Something that we never want to be guilty of. The Leviticus 19:12 passage, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. God is faithful to show us that He takes the oath very seriously. His warning here is quite clear. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely. So we take our oath with humility, asking for the grace of God to be upon us, that we did not swear falsely in His name. There is great weight that we need to apply to our faithfulness in working out our oath. This great weight. Again, we don't want to be found guilty of swearing by His name falsely. Now, of course, the reality is that we are sinful creatures. And probably before the even end of this service, we might even do that within ourselves or something. But ultimately, we need to give it the weight. Yes, we're sinners, and yes, we'll be forgiven for those things. But we're not entitled to knowingly swear falsely. We're not entitled to knowingly breaking our oath. 2 Chronicles 6:22 and 23 says, if a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath, and he comes and takes an oath before your altar in this house, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, punishing the wicked by bringing his way on his own head. And here comes the good part. And justifying the righteous by giving them according to their righteousness. This is part of Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple when it was all done. It was part of his prayer here. And he's asking God to say that those bring people before this altar for their oaths. And then, after they take their oaths, judge them according to their oath. Judge them wickedly or righteously, whichever. And again, this is the nice thing about this is that, maybe I'm not getting to that part just yet, but while the judgment of God can be and should be a very sobering thought, it is at the same time encouraging. Because as we are faithful to our oath, He is even the more the faithful to His promises. I firmly believe that we are a blessed people here at Tri-City Covenant Church. Amen. I believe that to my core. I am so thankful that God has provided me a home amongst you people. This is a beautiful place. So we are a blessed people because God, in His goodness, indeed by the grace of God, has called us to be part of His first eternal kingdom and His work here at Tri-City Covenant Church. Are you ready for God to judge your faithfulness to your membership oath? Do you fear God enough to give that some thought? Do you love God enough to give that some thought? One of the great things about giving this the thought and weight that it deserves is if we do detect any lack of faithfulness on our part, we are given the opportunity to make the appropriate corrections in this life. For it might be very well God speaking to us to correct those areas. Pastor Clark was very, very good at telling us over the course of his ministry that if we detect unfaithfulness on our part, we need to be thankful for that because God is at work. God is telling us to fix those things. So if we have been in areas, if there has been areas of unfaithfulness to the oath, take that for what it's worth. Take that as God may be saying, okay, this year is different than last year for you. Get more involved. Get whatever situation is resolved, whatever it is. Let God speak to you and then do something about it. But we also might find that many of us have been very faithful to our oath. And if you're in that position, be thankful that you know that as well. Because again, God is sending His reassurance to you that you are on the right path. Elders and deacons, I would challenge myself and you to consider whether or not we would want God to judge our past faithfulness to our elder and deacon oaths. Oh, in so many ways I don't. But hopefully, going forward, I see those weaknesses and take care of them. It truly is not my intention to make anybody feel bad about past failures. It really is not. My intention is for us to give the great weight that needs to be given about the oath that we swore in the presence of our Maker. We would not want to be found guilty of swearing falsely. Consider Jesus' word on the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh evil. Matthew Henry wrote about this passage. He wrote this: we have here an exposition of the third commandment, which we are the more concerned rightly to understand, because it is particularly said that God will not hold him guiltless. However, he may hold himself who breaks this commandment by taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When we take an oath before God and then turn around and act outside that oath, we are making ourselves guilty before God, a dangerous and sinful position for us to be in. Further, the words of Jesus, The words of Jesus speak to the resolve that we are to have in what we say, in the oaths that we take, in the things that we swear to before our God. When we take our oath, we need to have the resolve to see it through. We need to be ready to make good on the promises that we made in our oath. In our oath, again, we confess to be taking our oath with a humble and contrite heart. Now, with that same humility, we need to help resolve to keep our promises. We promise to study the peace and unity, purity of the church. Let us have the resolve to do just that. Study on it. Think on it. Maybe think before we speak. Maybe think before we perform certain actions that might disrupt the peace, unity, and purity of the church. Let us be careful to not strike with vengeance, for doing so may bring us a guilty verdict. Likewise, we promise to make diligent the use of means of grace, to share faithfully in the weekly worship of the church, to give of tithe and offerings, to give your whole heart to the service of Christ and His kingdom throughout the world, and promise subjection to your brethren in the Lord. If we walk contrary to those things in which we have promised in the presence of our God, then we put the guilty verdict upon ourselves. And these are not just merely words. These are not words like being on the person to person outside this building. It's not the same. It was before the Almighty God, the sovereign judge. Again, who will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. All that we ascribe to, all that we promise to, often one of the most difficult things is the tithing portion and the tithe, the gives of tithes and offerings. And it especially can be difficult for our younger members. Just starting out, just starting to get some cash, just starting to earn some money, it can be difficult to say, yes, I'm ready to give up part of what I have to God. You really don't have the option to even consider that because He requires it. So I ask you, if anybody that is in struggling with that, I would ask you this. If you can't do that with the little you have, how can you possibly expect God to give you more? How can you expect Him to give you greater wealth? We are, with all diligence, to pursue faithfulness to our membership oath. As we go out through this year, let us do it with the weight of our oath in mind. Let us do it with the weight that we have sworn our oath in the presence of our Almighty God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Eternal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us forever be thankful for the grace that we have received. God in His goodness has brought you to Tri-City Covenant Church. By God's grace, we have been joined together. By His grace, He has led you here. Here's the scrolls of Tri-City Covenant Church in the year 2016. They may be added to, but here they are. 2015 and all the others they've been archived. They're part of the archives of our church now. The membership rolls, the scrolls there, they've been archived. These are the scrolls now. Someday, next year, these will be archived. They'll be put away with the others. What will be your testimony? What will be your testimony when these are archived? What will be when maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, maybe 100 years from now, somebody comes upon these scrolls and they look at them and they start flipping through the pages and they start saying, oh, I wonder, faithful to the oath or not? Faithful to the oath or not? What will be the testimony? What will be your testimony? As Jesus looks upon these scrolls, what does He think? As Jesus looks there, is he happy? Does He look to His Father and say something like, Dad, these are the people I prayed for? Remember, that they be one, just as you and I are one? And what would Jesus think? What does he think when he looks at these? Or will Jesus be disappointed? Would he have the horrible task of looking at his dad and saying, "Dad, I'm sorry, they just didn't get it"? As we approach 2016, I would encourage us all to have the resolve that this will be the best year, the most advancement by Tri-City Covenant Church in our history. We have been around a long time, short time in the big scheme of things, but we have been. We have done some great things. But I would just tell us, I would just challenge us that when we take our oath in 2017, I pray that we have not been found guilty of breaking this oath, but that we have been judged righteous as righteous and faithful people. In His grace, we will be faithful. I pray that in His grace, we will be faithful in her service. Amen. Please stand.